I first learned about Front Yard through a janitor, my mate Luke, who aroused my interest in the way he described the place. It was a place that I had heard about before in passing one or two times, but even after I spoke to Luke, I still didn't have a clear idea of what exactly Front Yard was.
Well, I think it's really important to say that Front Yard isn't an art space.
Front Yard is a lot about collective work. It is a lot about sharing. It's a place where you can organize something outside of private and commercial space.
A space for thinking, reflection, and slower conversations.
So it's different things for different people, but it's a really great, messy mix of politics and community.
So the thing that I like most about Front Yard is that every single person that you ask that to will give you a different answer. And for me, Front Yard is quite unique in its capacity to enable anyone to do whatever they want. So it's a space that's very, 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 very open. We've tried really, really hard as founding people to establish an organisation which has the bare minimum of organisation in order to enable the community around Front Yard to define what it is rather than imposing an agenda from above.
That's Benjamin Forster. He's one of the founders of Front Yard. Benjamin is a visual artist and he's also Front Yard's librarian. He has painstakingly catalogued and carefully maintains Front Yard's library.
I've catalogued the rest of this, but I did not see that.
I interviewed Benjamin in the library, which sits at the back of the Front Yard building, an old baby health centre at 228 Marrickville Road. The library adjoins the kitchen, which conveniently encourages sitting down with a cup of tea and browsing through the collection. While I had gone to get a new memory card, Benjamin had picked up a book from the shelf, and he was flipping through pages when I returned. The book was a catalogue from an exhibition in Houston in the early 2000s. Page after page of photographs showed the strangest scenes that I can only try to describe as a mixture of sex, religion, and livestock butchery. The library is an old collection from the Australia Council, which was decommissioned around the same time that deep cuts were made to the council by the then Minister for Arts, George Brandis.
At around the same time, I was doing a library degree, and at that time I'd learnt that the Australia Council had a library, that they were also throwing it out, which horrified me.
Benjamin took over the library, and for a few months he housed it at Monash University as part of an installation.
And then this space came up through Marrickville Council, and Claire got in touch and was like, I know you're looking for a home for a library.
So that's one part of Front Yard. It's home to a fascinating collection of books that catalogue the rich history of Australian and international art from the 60s through to today.
So that's a tricky question because I would describe it very differently depending on who was asking, which I think is part of the magic of it. I guess for me it's sort of as much as we can make it so a really open space that breathes, that allows for things to come in. It's also a really urgent space, so it's slow and fast in different ways.
That's Ali.
My name's Ali Crosby. I'm one of the founders of Front Yard. I'm also a design academic at UTS.
Ali can often be found at the back of the Front Yard building, pulling weeds and picking herbs from the garden.
So the garden has been a really important part of Front Yard to me and a lot of people. It was a common intent to have a part of the space dedicated to producing our own food, and I suppose experimenting with producing food in the city and also in a rented space. Our first resident at Front Yard was Gilbert Grace, and he's a Sydney artist, also an environmentalist and a very keen cyclist. And he just kind of got in there and helped build these raised beds. There's a lot of people that tend it, and people come in and out and do weeding and harvesting. And I guess I always think of Gilbert when I'm there at the beds kind of pulling out weeds, because it just, a lot of that stuff, it just takes someone to start it. And then it's really interesting to see at Front Yard how the link between the way that the space is maintained socially and then the way that the physical infrastructure of the space is maintained. So it seems to feel to us, to the janitors, it seems to feel like if the garden is going well, people are noticing, they're observing and interacting with the garden, then usually the space is going well as well.
So it's a library, it's a garden, and it's also a residency space, what Ali calls a conversational residency.
So the first idea of the residency was that because there's two rooms in the building, that there would be two people in residency simultaneously who had some kind of connection, and if not a developed connection, one that could be developed through the residency. So the idea was really that it was a conversational residency. I guess it's to counter a little bit that normal mode of artist residency, which is very much traditionally people being on their own, working really hard in kind of what I call art jail for a set period of time. So we took the doors off the rooms as soon as we got here in an effort to make sure that it was a really interactive mode of being in the space.
The first time I ever walked inside the Front Yard building, I came across one of the two residency rooms, which was filled with row upon row of small sheets of paper, each adorned with hand-drawn pickled recipes and beautiful pictures of jars and jams and fruit and vegetables.
My name's Tessa, and I've been working on this project Making Time for about 5 years. It's a travelling food preserving kitchen, and so we set up in different places and people come and share their recipes or strategies for preserving food. A couple of years ago, we got some funding to make a book that contains recipes and bits and pieces from those different appearances. Now at Front Yard, we've been collecting together all of that material and drawing jars and drawing emails and preservation-related things.
I caught up with another of the current residents, Chris Nash, at an open house evening where he was discussing the history of sex censorship and obscenity laws in Australia with anyone who stopped by.
So my name's Chris Nash. I'm a journalist. I'm an academic. I'm professor of journalism at Monash University. And my partner, who was professor of journalism at UTS, and I have curated this program about Thurunka. And Thurunka is the student magazine of the students of University of New South Wales in Sydney.
Their exhibition on radical student journalism in the late 60s and early 70s was displayed at 107 Projects in Redfern in April. And now they're in residence at Front Yard working on a couple of follow-up projects. I asked him why they wanted to come and do a residency at Front Yard.
Well, Front Yard's a terrific place. You know, it's lots of really interesting people who think about art in very broad and social ways, so it's not a restricted or esoteric exercise, and there's a lot of energy here, a lot of creative energy, and it's a good place for us to both, in a sense, be private while we sort of work through and do our work in the residence, but also being available to people to get input, to get ideas and so on.
Okay, so you're still with me. It's a library, it's a garden, and it's also a space for residencies. But that still doesn't quite capture the whole picture. Having spent a bunch of time in the building and with the people who make it happen in the past couple of weeks, I've come to understand that Front Yard is much more than just a space. It's a collection of people and assets that come together to create a really refreshing and quite inspiring approach to community, culture, organising and collaboration.
My name's Connie Anthes. My role here is officially as chairman and public officer of Front Yard, but we call ourselves, rather than board members, we call ourselves janitors because we want to position ourselves in service to our community as opposed to sort of a top-down curatorial or directorial approach to running a space like this.
Connie told me about how Front Yard came to be during what was a pretty dark time for people working in the arts and culture in 2015 when the then Arts Minister, George Brandis, cut $105 million from the Australia Council's budget.
Front Yard essentially came out of an initial conversation that Claire Cooper and I had over our sort of shared frustrations around cuts to arts funding and general seeming apathy by politicians of the time with regards to how arts and cultural practices were supported in an increasingly precarious financial situation for artists and community workers. So we were basically having an informal chat one day over a beer or a cup of coffee and said to ourselves, well, you know, why does the arts not have, you know, a lobbying body or a lobbying place that people with a couple of hours to spare in a week or in a day can come in and devote their skills designing posters or making radio pieces, for example. So we felt like there was a need for a physical space where people could come and do that. And so we approached a couple of local councils, and essentially it grew from there. Marrickville, or then Marrickville Council, now Inner West Council, gave us a ring, and Front Yard sort of evolved out of that idea, but also the physical space that we had to work with.
But everyone I spoke to was really careful to make sure that I was aware that Front Yard was not just for people in the arts.
I wouldn't call it an art space necessarily. I think it's much more than that. And I think it's time that we drew out the connections between the arts and people who don't identify as artists much more clearly.
So from the very beginning, I think we were brandishing the term of a not only artist-run space, in the sense that it was not just for artists and it's not just for the arts.
What's been incredibly exciting, what's driven a lot of the projects at Front Yard or a lot of the activity there, is that architects and hackers and nurses and permaculture educators and accountants, somebody wanting to teach how to make kimchi, feel like they can come in and contribute something, share something and learn something.
That's Claire Cooper, and she's the one that Connie mentioned in the conversation that set the ball rolling for Front Yard.
Many of us have artistic concerns and an arts practice, but we are all recognising the urgent need for conversation and discussion around how we can be more supportive of one another. It can't just happen in art spaces with a whole lot of artists in the room.
There's something really experimental about Front Yard, a sort of extreme openness that is almost radical, albeit in a really chilled out kind of way.
The other important ethos and driver for me being part of Front Yard is this idea of radical transparency. Like, why organisationally can't we share our financials? Why can't we share our building? Why can't we share the inner workings of our organisation and open that up to critique ideas from people outside of the people that run this space? So we have an open digital platform that allows our community to sort of take part in discussions that are happening at traditionally at board level. We have our bank balance on our homepage, you know, those sorts of things that actually, I guess, evidence how precarious an organisation like Front Yard is and how delicate the ecology that surrounds it is. But also it's sort of a measure of confidence or resilience that we know that even if our physical situation changes, that, you know, we've developed possibilities for what we can take to a new space or to a series of like satellite projects if we need to in the future.
And the future for Front Yard right now is not completely clear. They were initially given a 6-month lease, and now, just over a year later, they roll on a month-to-month agreement with the local council. And while to me that seems like a terrifying state of uncertainty, unsurprisingly, Connie had a more positive, more open perspective.
Because we set ourselves up as a short-term project, it allows us to be quite responsive and agile as an organisation, and we try and leave the physical spaces as open to change as possible. The residency rooms are pretty bare bones, so their purpose could change if organisationally or our community wants to see something different happen there other than the residencies in the future. Our workshop space is designed to have tables and chairs if needed, or to empty out if needed. And I think that sort of ethos applies. Everything's movable, modular, removable. And I guess that's partly a practical response to the fact that we may not be here in a month's time and we may have to find an alternative venue or evolve to become a spaceless venue. And these are all things that we talk about as an organisation or as a group of janitors working for the community.